You want Becky to field questions?
Yes.
Emma, what is, if we compare it with, for example, the U.S. series, like Seinfeld or Romano, sorry, or what is it? This is the series Romana Babar called A Closer to I Love Lucy and maybe Honeymooners, or there is a politics. What they think about us? Is there a... Because the Moroccan society is moderate, yeah? Rabat is 1,000 kilometers closer to New York than Paris. Yeah? More Western than... And my question is, how was born this anti-Western or something? They talk about politics.
So the series themselves do talk about politics, but in a very effaced way. So it's an indirect way of talking about politics and political questions. So there's questions about Islam that are presented in a particular kind of way. There's issues about practice. Those kinds of things are addressed in some of the series. But because they are tied to this notion of the mythical past, a lot of things that some people within Moroccan life view as being more magic based as opposed to scripturally Islamic based, right? There's a tension here between kind of thinking about the mythical past and the practices associated with Islam in the mythical past, and the present practices that they're hearing from, for example, the Saudi funded Iqra station. So people are, as I mentioned, these ideas about what media is and should do and does vary because ideologies are never complete. They never are holistic and cover everything. So even though people might watch certain things or watch a lot of different kinds of things, what they're watching may not influence them in holistic kinds of ways. So in terms of the question that you ask about what kind of what would be an analogy in the U.S., goodness, I don't even know if there's an example of an analogy in the U.S. because these are seen as essentially fairy tale stories, but that are grounded in a particular historical past. So they're not like, it's not like watching Once Upon a Time, right, which is a retake of Grimm's fairy tales in a contemporary kind of a context. It's a very different notion about tale-telling and that comes out of Moroccan historical tales. Yes. For this, And a key point to keep in mind is that the producers who are making these stories do not have feedback from actual viewers to get a sense of how the people are responding in any way, right? So all they have are very recently developed and very kind of sketchy versions of Nelson ratings, right? Which are, and in fact, when I interviewed Bubkidi, one of the things she said is, yeah, did you hear that my program, Hadidan, when it aired, actually beat out a Real Madrid-Barca match, right? So a soccer match. So this was an example where she was talking about how, you know, she saw her, that was her way of assessing the response of the people that she was her target audience, I guess. But to think about, sorry. Well, they do, but it's still not something that the producers themselves actively monitor. They're involved in other things. And so this is, and they usually don't run those kinds of, those mediums. So for example, a Facebook page would be run by Duzem. Bubkidi as a producer is contracted by Duzem to make the serials. And so she doesn't have control over those kinds of interfaces that audiences would be engaging. And even then, it's, engagement at that level has been very, very poor. There's only maybe 10 people who would write a comment about those kinds of things. But to get back to your question about participant frameworks and how, and content, what happens when you move from one content to the next. So I have actually analyzed several examples of storytelling in Marrakesh at Jemaa el Fna, right, which is kind of this iconic place where this Hadhrami Zen storytelling occurs. And like you said, a lot of the content is very subversive against institutional factors, right? So in the face-to-face interaction moments, and it may not be about the state in particular, but the subversiveness and the resistance is to institutional forms of many kinds, not just the state. But in the context of Hatr al-Mizan, Bubkidi, she very much articulated that what she's trying to do is she's been trained in this media and modernization ideology. The idea that media is, is to produce media in order to create certain kinds of civic beings, right? Civic persons. And so even though she is very much tied to preserving the oral history in some way, she wants to do so in a way that will create people of a specific type. And she herself, she herself is a bit of a recluse. She doesn't come out very much. It was actually quite a feat to get an interview with her, because she doesn't usually give public interviews, and she's just not a public persona. And yet she sees her own role as someone who is there to help modernize Moroccans in a particular kind of a way. So there is a disconnect in the content in terms of, but part of that is based on their ideology about what that medium is supposed to do, and how they engage in the opportunities they have to engage with interlocutors. Yes.
To what extent is the culture, the content that we're talking about further, and does the audience recognize it as such? One question. The other is, in a place like Marrakesh, tourist observations of public performances present. Doesn't that have an effect on what is happening?
Certainly. Certainly, because in all audiences, right, in all participation frameworks, there's usually layers of addressees, right? There's usually someone who's a direct addressee, then there's the overhearers and the bystanders and indirect, ratified, people who are excluded, et cetera. So there are always layers of audience addressees, even in any kind of context. And certainly in Marrakesh, the tourists are they're being ratified to some extent because they're potential income contributors for the storyteller, just as any other possibility. So the first of your questions about how much of this is Berber content, Bubkidi herself was born and raised in Casablanca, but her grandmother on her father's side, actually both of her grandmothers, were from the Sousse, which is Tashelhit-speaking Berber community. communities, actually multiple down there. Anyway, she herself knows both Tashlhit and, of course, Moroccan Arabic and French and modern standard Arabic. And English. She ranges across multiple languages. She chose to do the program in Moroccan Arabic, again, because it allows for a wider audience. But she herself states that she learned most of her oral heritage from her Berber grandmothers, right, from her Tashlhit-speaking grandmothers. And that's what she's drawing on. But that's not the only thing. One of the things that's very fascinating about Boubkadi is that she actually, she's a bit of a scholar. She goes around and collects texts that have been written about folklore in Morocco. And people call her up and say, you know, I've got this story that my grandmother told me that I want to share with you. I want to see if you make a program about it. So she's kind of a folklorist herself in a certain sense, where she's collecting all of these stories. And not all of those are Tashlhit or Tamazight or Charafit stories, right?
Does the audience
recognize the difference? Well, again, this depends partly on their what their background is and what they bring to the event. So most of them would, with a lot of people that I talked to said, oh, yeah, this is a village in the Sousse, right? They recognize that this is a Tashlhit village in the Sousse in some sense, in the southern part of Morocco. But that's not the first indexical value that comes to their minds, right? To them, it's that notion of a Moroccan historical past and these ways of speaking. That's what they pay attention to. It's actually the rhymed Moroccan Arabic that they're paying attention to, as opposed to as much the visuals. Those are a part and part of that indexical bundle, but they don't necessarily have to be, because also there are Arabic speaking villages in the Sousse as well. It's not just all Tashlhit speaking. So and people know that. People know that it's mixed. It's a lot more mixed than these rigid boundaries might suggest. Yes.
I just had a question about how, because you had mentioned that these are produced with an imagined audience, and so are these channels, do they do any kind of consumer or recipient research at all, or is it purely based on intuition about what the audience?
Yeah, there's no audience research done. Okay. There's none that I'm aware of, and this model of the Nelson ratings, the so-called Nelson ratings that they do, is really urban-based, right? And because of questions about phones and other kinds of issues, and it's also very, very selective, right?
Tunes a particular kind of model of consumption.
Yes.
Because not necessarily.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So there isn't, as far as I know, any kind of audience research. But keep in mind that these producers are also consumers themselves, right? So the boundary line between what they're doing and what other people are doing is oftentimes very thin. They probably are engaging in a lot of the same kinds of practices, but because of the training that they've had and because of the orientation of state television itself, that media ideology of media and modernization is very, very strong in the projects that they choose to promote.
Sorry, one more question. Are there any advertisements at all on the state TV, or is it like purely kind of like...
Oh, no. It's also a very much a commercial venture. Very much a commercial venture. So especially Douzem, right? Because it is a private-public hybrid. So commercials are running all the time. Constantly. And a lot of the programming actually has paid placement, right? So you get specific companies that sponsor placement of products in the programming, and it's very, very explicit. So it's very much a hybrid of commercial and public and funding.
That makes it even more interesting that they didn't do any research, because the advertisers would want to target an audience.
Yeah. Well, they may have started to do so, but since 2010, 2011, up to that point, there hadn't been sustained target research audiences. Yes?
I was interested in the trickster figure of your female heroine. There's been a lot of work done on trickster in many cultures, European, societies. And I wondered if, on the fact that she ended up marrying the judge at the end, is this a true trickster, or do you see some archetypal parallels between her and tricksters of the capital too, that seem rather cultures?
Well, it's Boobkitty actually. This is actually, so Boobkitty herself is the one who gave me the Cinderella story line for what she was doing. She said that this was a story, a Moroccan version of the Cinderella story. And so she made the equivalence between the two, the kind of rags to riches story time, telling. The trickster part actually comes from analyses that that Moroccans themselves told me about this character, right? And the idea, and other research that has been done by other scholars who've been working on folklore in Morocco, who argue that this kind of character in folktales is a very important one, especially the clever trickster, right? The one who can do all kinds of things. But it's not the same kind of trickster as, for example, a Native American trickster or certain Native American tales, right? The idea of the person who is non-human. There's not that sense. In Morocco, tricksters are always very human, very mortal, but extremely clever, which is part of what makes them appealing to people, right? That this is not a mythical creature. This is someone like you or I who just knows how to use language and interaction to their advantage. Well, the Moroccan context is different. It's a little bit different than Tunisia. And why is Moroccan a little bit different? Well, every place is actually a little different. That is a topic for another day. That's a big topic for another day. Yes, please.
Other question is, so what do you think of state and Jewish, like, Orient heritage? How much of the effort that you've talked about so far comes from Wichita versus state? Like,
so it's actually both, and the reason I say that is because I actually spent time. I met with several of the Duzem media producers, not just ones who are involved in entertainment television, but those who are involved in public service programming and in news magazine production. So I met with different genres. Like I said, this is a small part of the much larger work. And one of the things that I found is that this notion of media and modernization and using Moroccan television, even in the hybrid public-private venture that is Duzem, is seen very much as a media and modernization project. Very much. So that even, for example, I interviewed a woman who runs a cooking show. Her name is Shumisha. Extraordinarily successful at what she does. Everybody talks about Shumisha, and I write about her in part of the book. And she even herself said that what she's trying to do is show Moroccan women that they can be modern and still cook and have successful, that they can be successful in whatever it is that they choose to do. So she's going around the country, she's interviewing women in very different circumstances, and she's having them prepare a meal and showing everyone else how to do it. But her project is to create gender equity. And she's explicit about that. She's also very explicit about the fact that she's getting sponsored from all kinds of, private ventures who want to advertise on her program, right? So she's very much in that media and modernization, but also media and privatization project as well. So Boobkitty is a part of that, and part of that is the training. And one of the things that that I need to explore more is most of the producers have actually gone through training through the state-sponsored. It's the cinema and television education school in Rabat. So there's actually, you know, there's a branch of the university that you can go through where you get your media training. And most people who work for state television or even the state public private hybrid have gone through that same training, the same educational track. So it's not just Bubkiri, right? It's the media and modernization ideology is a strong one across multiple producers. Thousand and One Nights. There are similarities, but in terms of like the female storyteller and the successive tales that she tells. So one of the stories is in Romana Wuppertal, she goes out and she actually is trying to trick a ghoul, right? Who is giving her help as she's trying to trick others. But she, in order to do so, she has to come back every night and tell him a part of the tale because he's tortured and can't sleep. Right? Sound familiar? So it does have the same echoes, but in this case, again, there's she's the mortal, and she's speaking to an immortal in this case, a ghoul, right? So it's a little bit different than the Thousand and Ones. It's a similar kind of story, but it has different characters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder how you see that reflected in Suzanne and meeting the other First Nations. So, do you have any idea of the percentage there for them within the literary as opposed to the other? Because they're really matter. You should be able to understand what you're saying.
Well, that debate actually is a very old one. The idea of the tension between Moroccan Arabic Darija, right, and modern standard Arabic is a very old one. And there's lots of ideologies about that and education. So some people argue that teaching education in modern standard Arabic, which is currently that's what the state does, right? It currently teaches education in modern standard Arabic officially. And yet, if you actually spend time in the classroom, you'll see that there's a whole lot more Darija facilitation that goes on in the actual instruction process. So part of the arguments there about Arabization, right, the kind of moving towards Fusha versus Darija in the classroom, are actually a lot more tied to ideologies about what are the indexical values of modern standard Arabic versus Moroccan Arabic, right? So what do people think these things do? And for some people, Darija is tied to moving away from Islam. And for some people, Darija is tied to Berber nationalist movements, right, or autonomy movements, right? So people are very concerned because to go toward mother tongues is a move towards Tashalhit and other kinds of things as the dominant language of instruction, even though they're actually currently doing that in several schools. But again, the key thing here is not what the practices are, but what people think those languages are doing and what it is that they think they're accomplishing. And like I said, these are partial ideologies and they're multiple ideologies and they're very context specific and people will evoke them, a lot of them, again, based on what it is they're trying to argue and what they're trying to accomplish in a given moment. So it depends on the station. Al-Ula actually has several programs that are actually in Temazek as well as, so they have, it's few, it's not a whole lot, right? There's a couple of them. News is always translated into all of the different Amazon varieties. But there's also French programming and there's also some Spanish programming on the first station. But most of the programming is actually in Moroccan Arabic. Yes, most of the programming is in Moroccan Arabic. So that the programming that shows up in Fusha is actually much more limited than what you might think. There's a lot more Moroccan Arabic, depending on the genre. So news is always in modern standard Arabic, but for example, entertainment programs are in Moroccan Arabic, the vast majority. Documentaries, either French or modern standard Arabic, or sometimes Moroccan Arabic. It varies. Again, it depends on the genre. Duzem is a lot more Moroccan Arabic and French than it is modern standard Arabic. In fact, one of the controversies is that this very popular modern standard documentary program that is about Morocco, called Amoudou, was recently re-signed It's a private production company that contracts with Duzem to make these programs. They resigned, but only under the condition that they produce all of their series in Moroccan Arabic. So Duzem has a very strong kind of ideology towards Moroccan Arabic, much more so than Al Ula, the first station. So again, it depends on the station, and it varies. Yes. That would depend on who you talked to. On who you talked to about what the source of this morality might be. Because like many other words that we think we all share the meanings of, morality is a bit of a shifter, right? It means different things to different people, and the sources of that morality differed also. Some people might argue that it's based in Islam, right, and religious practice. Some people might argue that it's based in an ethics that is uniquely Moroccan and a part of its pre-colonial past. Other people might argue that this is a morality that is tied to Morocco's unique moderate stance in the larger political sphere. And other people would argue that the morality comes from these civic virtues that they're trying to use in these morality tales. That it's not the tales themselves that are moral, but the content, right? And how they're trying to portray that. So it depends on who you talk to, what they think the source of the morality might be.
Okay, we've been going for about an hour and a half, and I think we need to give you some respite. Is there a last question?
We don't have
time. Okay, you're the last one.
Have you connected it to
Yes. Yeah, I had to cut that part out, right? So the song actually is a remix of Nasr Gawan's song. So, and that's very much tied to a moral past that was in contention with the state, right? At some point. So again, when these things move mediums. Right, so Nasr Gawan as a musical was very much an opposition movement, but a covert one, right? So it wasn't supposed to be overt in its opposition to the state. But I think, and people oftentimes said, oh, this is a Nasr Gawan song. So they recognized the song, right? And it's part of Moroccan's past. I had to cut that part out. But yes, music is a very important part of making those connections across mediums.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And don't forget next month.